y'all. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Snaps and Golf Claps. I'm so happy to be here with each and every one of you. I appreciate you all making the time to be here with me, to hang out with me. It means a lot. And I know I say I do this for myself, but I also would be lying if I said that I didn't appreciate the messages, the love, the conversations that have come from this. So thank you. You all make this possible. You all make this happen. And I appreciate each and every one of you. Something that's been on my mind a lot is how at times we get upset at other people. We get upset at other people for how they treat us, how they act, how they what they give us or lack thereof. And it's been on my mind a lot because I'm wondering, is that their responsibility to treat us a certain way? And is that frustration, that anger, that feeling that we get when people don't treat us how we want them to treat us, is that more reflective of us? Do we want these people to treat us this way because we don't know how to treat ourselves that way? Have expectations been clearly communicated and the frustration is coming from lack of adherence? What is it that makes us so frustrated when people don't treat us a certain way, when people don't communicate a certain way? Is it because we're opening up, pouring our hearts out, being vulnerable with these people and not getting the same thing in return? Is that vulnerability even meant for them? Do you have that same vulnerability for yourself? Why do we expect so much from others? Are we expecting the same from ourselves? It's really easy to contract out the things that we desire, the things that we need for ourselves, the things that we should be giving to ourselves. It's really easy to want someone else to make us happy, want someone else to pick us up when we're down, want someone else to do these things, because doing it for ourselves is not easy. And it requires a lot. It requires presence. It requires accountability. It requires knowing that we need that from ourselves. And that's not to say we shouldn't rely on those around us, but it is to say that we shouldn't expect these people to kiss our boo-boos when we don't do it for ourselves. There's one thing to be supported by another, and there's one thing to expect for that other to be our sole support, because we don't know how to stand up alone. We got to stop using the people around us as training wheels and understand that they are meant to be riding next to us on the bike, not our full support, and without them, we fall. I never liked that idea of people saying, oh, this person's my everything. This person is, without them, I'm nothing. And that's a problem, I think. So I understand what you mean in essence, but putting all of that on another person is hard for them and for you, because what happens if they don't show up? What happens if they're struggling to do that for themselves? What happens if they decide to put themselves first? Then we're broken beyond belief. Then we're stuck. Then we're wondering what we did wrong. And the answer is nothing. You didn't do anything wrong. But you could have supported yourself better. You could have been your own rock better. You could have been your own training wheels better. No one owes us anything. It's just such a blessing when we get to feel this from other people. And I think that's one thing that you learn when you learn how to be your own support system, when you learn how to love yourself, when you learn how to be there for yourself and connect with yourself and be vulnerable with yourself and all those things, is that those people that are supportive in our lives, those people that show up for us, those people that want to be a part of our lives actively and don't want anything from us are gems. They don't have to be here. They're here on their own. They don't want anything from me. I don't want anything from them, but I'm grateful for everything I get from them. You see what I'm saying? I don't need them to be here, but I am so grateful that they are here. I understand that they don't need to be here. They don't. It's not their responsibility, their duty to be at my beck and call. But when somebody is so devoted to our friendship, devoted to our connection, I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for being thought of. I'm so grateful for a, hey, thinking about you today, how are you? I'm so grateful for a conversation. I'm so grateful for a text, because I know you don't have to do any of that stuff. And I know you don't expect any of that from me. And it feels great. It feels great to be seen, to be loved. But it didn't feel great when I didn't see myself and I didn't love myself. I felt like I needed that, and I didn't know what to do with it. I needed the acknowledgement. I needed the praise. I needed all that. I needed the check-ins. I needed all that because I didn't give it to myself. And I felt neglected when I didn't get it, and I felt hurt. I felt I took everything personal when I didn't get it. And what did that say about me at the time? Well, in hindsight, that said a lot. That said a lot, that I was so hurt that I didn't hear from someone every day, that I took it so personal when this person didn't make time out of their day. I made time out of my day to reach out to you, and you couldn't do the same? How dare you? Well, why did you make time out of your day to reach out to them? Is it because you actually wanted to know, or is it because you wanted them to now ask you how you're doing? Is it because you wanted them to ask you how your day went? Is it because you knew that by you checking in on them, in turn, they would check in on you even if it wasn't initiated by them? These are all questions that have come up since having the opportunity to reflect and think about that period in my life. And I think it's important to question our intentions. Why do we even have people, certain people in our lives? Why are we okay with cheap connections? Why are we allowing people to be in our lives that are only here to take? The human connection is such a beautiful thing, but like any connection, it requires two sides. There is no such thing as a one-sided connection. That's something else if it's one-sided. I'm not sure what it is, but it's not a connection. And it's important to examine what that is and what that means to us and why we feel the need to keep that alive. It's a big question because it forces us to examine everything in our lives, but it's important to examine your life anyways. Something that I learned this week, or maybe not learned, but realized this week, was that there are things that are holding you back subconsciously, and you may not even know it, but it'll feel like a weight was lifted off of you the minute you realize it, or the minute you release it, or are open to releasing whatever that thing is. Again, if you don't even know it exists, how are you going to release it? But that's where examination and openness comes in. Reflection. Journaling is important. Or at least having some outlet to reflect is important. Whether that be therapy, conversation with self, journaling, whatever the case may be. Whatever your preferred method is. If you have other preferred methods, I'd love to hear about them. But it's important to do an audit of our lives often. Why do we do this? Why is it hard for me to do this? Why is it hard for me to show up here? Why did my life change in this way? How did I improve with this? Especially if there's stuff that you've been stuck on for a while. Like, it's important to ask why. I'm doing everything right. I feel like I'm moving in the right direction. I feel like I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Why am I still stuck? Is it a subconscious limitation that is there that I'm not even aware of? Is it people around me, my environment? What is it? It's important to do those checks because, again, a lot of those things are in our control, right? You can't change people around you, number one. So if it's people, you can't change them. But what you can change is A, how they affect you, or B, yourself in that situation. Like if we're in environments like work, for example, and there are people at work that make us feel a certain thing and get under our skin, that's not going to change. But what does change is how you allow that to affect you. You can't allow your external environment to have control over who you are and who you are becoming. If you're a slave to your external environment, you'll be stuck a lot. You might have breakthroughs here and there. And maybe they're not even real breakthroughs, but you have to release that. You have to release the need for validation. You have to release the internalization of your environment. If I go into work being like, I don't want to be here. This place sucks. Everything sucks. That thought pattern, that vision, that view, that idea will be internalized. And in turn, that's how I'll see my life, even if there's beautiful things about it. Whereas if I go into a space expecting the best, wanting the best, being the best I can be, that will also be a reflection of my life. Your situation isn't going to be perfect all the time with everything that you do, right? What makes your situation imperfect? How you see it. It's not necessarily a situation, it's how you see it. And that is a tough pill to swallow because that can get under people's skin. It used to get under my skin. Like, what do you mean? My situation is great. That's not saying that you can't feel things. That's not saying that you can't want better for yourself. That's not saying that the situation is not the most desirable. What that is saying is that making those feelings and internalizing those feelings and making that your reality is your responsibility to not do that. But I can't change because of my environment. My environment doesn't give me the space to change. I've heard it all because I've said it all. I need new to change. Sure, maybe a new physical environment can help set the momentum forward for change. But what if I told you your environment was actually your mind? And you can change physical environments as many times as you want, but if you don't change your mental environment, nothing changes. What if I told you you're in full control of your feelings and your emotions? And your environment cannot dictate how you feel, but your mind can, your body can, your heart can. So making a simple decision when we feel a certain way to pause and reflect on that feeling, try to understand why we even feel that, try to understand what's triggering that, can do a lot for us, because there's no better feeling than being like, wow, I would have reacted so differently before. It's like, yeah, then what changed? It's the same situation, the same environment, same input. Why was the output different then? Because I chose to. I chose to not let this get under my skin. That's why it was different. Same situation. Heck, sometimes even worse. But not to me. That doesn't dictate how I feel. It's just something that happened. It's just something that is. Situations, environments, things just are. They don't have a feeling tied to them. If someone calls you names, if someone does this, if someone is disrespectful to you, your perception of that is the feeling that is tied to that thing. That thing is the thing. That situation is a situation. It has more to do with that person than it has to do with you. So by allowing a situation to make you feel a certain way, to control your emotions throughout the day and throughout your life and hold that in and embody that energy, that's a choice. Someone can call me out of my name and say this and say that. And it's like, yeah, is it going to make me feel some type of way? Absolutely. But am I going to internalize that feeling? No. I'm going to feel disrespected. I'm going to feel frustrated. I'm going to feel maybe even anger. But I won't allow that to control and dictate my energy, my feelings. And yeah, it's not easy to get to this point. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of help. It takes a lot of guidance. It takes a lot of reading. It takes a lot of listening to myself, to understanding, being present. But understanding that it's not worth allowing your environment to affect your mind, to dictate who you are. You don't have to be that. You don't have to be a reflection of your environment if you don't want to be. And if you don't know how to get out of it, I understand that. It's not easy because we're so deeply conditioned to react, especially like with how our media is set up, how TVs, movies, all this stuff. We see this depicted from such a young age. You know, the outburst, the anger, the crying out, the mental breakdowns, and all this stuff that's depicted in our media and our movies and our TV shows and social media. We've been internalizing this since we were kids. So yeah, it's not supposed to be easy. This is deeply embedded in your brain. So it's going to take a lot of being present. It's going to take a lot of being with yourself and your own thoughts. It's going to take a lot of not numbing your brain every time you have a little bit of quiet time. Let yourself be bored. Let yourself be quiet. Let yourself be in your head, in your thoughts. There's nothing scary about being in your head. Let those thoughts run rampant and observe them with grace, but observe them. Like, what the heck is going on in here? Why? Ask why. Be curious. We've talked about that, which, again, I'm going to do a full episode on curiosity soon, but be curious. Why are these thoughts presenting themselves how they are right now? Why are they coming out? What do I need to know? What do I need to hear? Why? It's important not to be a slave to the world around us. It'll make life way less enjoyable because you'll always be wherever the wind blows, you go. And we don't want to be that. We don't want to be that because then we'll always be at somebody else's mercy. You don't want that. I know I don't want that. Something to think about, something to practice this week. And I do have some book recommendations that will help you that are actually fresh in my mind right now. And I'm sure there are other ones, but I'm actually rereading Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, which is prompting a lot of these thoughts. An incredible book to show you the mechanisms of how things work and why things work the way they do in the brain, and how we can rewire things. The book Psycho Cybernetics is also great. I read that in College, I believe, by Dr. Maxwell something. I don't remember his name. Radical Acceptance by Dr. Tara Brach is another book to help us out with all that stuff. Highly recommend all three. If there are any others that get prompted up or any that you know that have helped you, let me know. Shoot me a message. I think I'm going to start compiling a book list on different topics of books that have helped me and that I recommend, and the version I recommend them in as well, because there's some books that I've listened to and there's some books that I've listened to and read, and I prefer one version over the other. So yeah. There are so many different books though that can help us, or just even like I love Substack a lot. And Substack, if you're listening, slide the bag, because I'll talk about y'all all day. But I am gonna give some free show some love to Substack, because I really enjoy that platform a lot. There's a lot of great essays written by just independent writers that love their craft, or just people like you and me. And I enjoy reading essays on there. And there are some that, there's some Substacks that have helped me out a lot, like some creators on Substack that I have gained so much perspective from. And I love that platform just for whatever it is that your focus is, your interests are, whatever. It's an incredible platform. And child, I'll be reading them essays like a newspaper every morning. I try to read at least one, and not even try. That's what I go to. That's my morning coffee. So yeah, highly recommend Substack as well as a platform to gain perspective about whatever, or learn something, or whatever the case may be. So love it. Love it over there. Anyways, all right, done yapping for the day. And I appreciate y'all again. Thank you so much for being here with me, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I'd love to hear your feedback, your thoughts, and as always, be a little better every day. You guys have a great day. Bye. Not me acting like I'm hanging up a phone call. All right, talk to you soon. Bye.